Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 70 for December 18th, 2007. Happy Life Day. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I guess you probably gathered there's a pretty big panel here for MacBreak Weekly, our year-ender. I'm going to do it in alphabetical order. A. Alex Lindsay, ladies and gentlemen, he is with the Pixel Corps. What are you laughing at, Scott? I have to go through. I'm looking at my fingers. Alex is with the Pixel Corps.
Can we start again?
And actually, not only a founding member of MacBreak Weekly, but really the founder of MacBreak Weekly since you started MacBreak. And that spun off into the audio-only version, MacBreak Weekly.
Yes, which is now the biggest thing.
Well, audio distributes a lot.
It really does. I think I was a much more of a video guy at the beginning of this year than at the end of the year. So we really look at the two of them working together, and we really see that the audio for us will be when we look at podcasts now, we think that those ones will have more listeners than the video ones. The video ones just serve a different use.
They're getting all the attention because everybody thinks video is so sexy. So it really garners more attention. Let's see. Also in the A's, Andy Inotko from the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Colossal Waste of Bandwidth, and many, many books. Hello, Andy.
God bless us, everyone, Leo.
And he's the Tiny Tim of the bunch. I like that little wood cross you fashioned out of your...
A lot of people like to take the Christ out of Christmas. I like to put four of them back in to take his place.
Okay. We're treading on thin ice here.
The weather for it.
Yeah, it is. I know you've been shoveling.
Yes, I created I was so excited because we've had such a warm winter. Like last year, we got basically nothing. I was so excited about snow that I actually was watching it come down and spent 30 minutes trying to put together the perfect snow shoveling IMAX where it's nothing but 70s funk. Not too fast so that you get a heart attack, but enough that you can get a good swing with a shovel and with an opera break every 10 minutes. It was really quite...
And I understand you'll be offering that to our audience a little later on in the show.
It is online. I make no money from this. I just want to help people, Leo.
So generous. Chris Breen is the Mac Daddy, the bouffant of all Mac knowledge from Macworld Magazine. Hi, Chris.
T-shirt. Put it on a T-shirt.
I know. I want a T-shirt at Expo. Out to everybody. I would like my own T-shirt with the bouffant on it. You don't have to put me in there. Just the hair.
And we really give credit to Macalope for coining that phrase.
Yeah.
He's not with us today only because I've already got six people on Skype, and I'm afraid I could actually collapse the entire Skype infrastructure if I add any more people.
Oh, let's try.
Should I?
Skype can collapse on its own. It doesn't need help. It's very self-sufficient.
Andy's taking the role of Skype hater away from Alex Lindsay. Now that Alex is a T1, he likes Skype again.
Yeah, it's nice now that I have a fast connection.
I'm ordering a T1, actually. That's my Christmas present to TWiT.
I would suggest it to everyone, if you have.
Everyone should have a T1. Well, everyone, it's only $260. I was surprised at how inexpensive. Well,
if you were in Korea, you would say, why would I want that? It would slow me down to 1/100th of the speed I have now for $40 a month.
Is it really DSL labeled T1, or do you actually have a...
No. It's a T1 labeled T1.
And it's symmetric, right? 1.5 up and down. That's the key for Skype.
Yeah, and it's, when I look at it, I use iStat. The iStat menus. I think we talked about those.
Oh yeah, was it
where you can see your bandwidth? And it's funny because when you're using Skype, you look at it and it's only saying 9K up or 9K down. 9 kilobytes, up or down.
Unless you have six people on like I do,
then it says a lot more than that. Right?
Also here, Scott Bourne of the Bourne.
Yes, I'm here
of the Bourne referendum.
The Bourne referendum.
I don't know. They haven't written that one yet, but someday they will. from iLife Zone and the ApplePhoneShow.com, GirlsGoneGeek.tv. He's
the Dick Clark of technology.
The Dick Clark. He never ages. Is that what you're going for in that one?
He basically, if there's broadcasting happening, he's either producer or co-producer, or at least he hosted once or twice.
And we're gonna watch the ball drop at Macworld Expo thanks to him.
Yes. Right.
But he calls him now.
That's always a big moment in any young man's life.
Yeah.
Scott drops the ball. I have a little bit of a medical thing in my throat, so if I sound craggy, there's a reason.
Oh dear, I'm sorry. You actually sound great.
But, okay.
Sorry to hear that. I hope all will be well.
It will someday.
You ate too big of a turkey for dinner last night and it got stuck in your throat?
No.
Did the doctor have to leap on the table and use a Bic pen to save your life?
No, actually what happens is my neighbor asked me to come fix his computer and I thought he had a Mac because I seen him bring a Mac box in. And then I walked in and there was a Windows machine, and much like Choked. Kryptonite affects Superman, I was immediately stricken.
I thought I could have been mistaken here, and then maybe it was just a flashback to better days, but I just could have sworn I heard a little Merlin man in the background there. That would be...
Oh, hi, Leo. How are you?
Oh, my God. It's Merlin
man.
What are you guys doing in my room? This is awkward.
That's the old Frank Sinatra line. How'd all you guys get in my room? So, Merlin, congratulations on the baby. We haven't talked to you since then.
Yeah, thank you. It's a lot of fun. She's, you know, if they weren't adorable, we'd throw them in a river. She's really cute and a lot of fun.
It's really
and,
cool.
And she's, I don't know. She's, I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's, you know, nobody cares. If you've had a kid, you understand. And if you haven't had a kid, you don't care. So
I think let's not gloss over this. Let me just ask you, is this in fact the first baby that you've conceived?
That I'm aware of.
That you know of.
Just,
yeah.
I'm just sort of picking up on something you said earlier, just to clear things up.
Mr. Man, I'm your long-lost son.
I'm hoping there's not going to be...
Maybe their previous attempts at, you know, where the kid just didn't make the grade after the pictures...
threw him in the river? Yeah.
I dropped him at the police station.
Merlin's been watching...
Are there like four Merlin Man Moseses, like, saving the Israelites?
Yeah, exactly. All my also-rans, they're out there just talking really fast, not getting much done.
Amazon has my daddy. This is the eighth Reed basket that Merlin Man has purchased.
Now, I have to ask you, Merlin, because I've been watching all your pictures on Flickr. Are those public or are those?
Yeah, most of them are public. Yeah, yeah.
They're great pictures you've been taking with that 50mm lens of.
Oh, thanks.
The Life with Eleanor series.
Oh, you're nice. You know, it's really, what do you say? It's a lot of fun. And the 50mm lens, it's something that might actually be interesting to people. I just can't say enough about that lens. If you're gonna try and take stuff really fast and. You don't have time to think and get all fancy. It's a hell of a lens.
But how do you get a baby to wink on command? That's what I'm curious about. I don't understand that.
A lot of kind of idle threats that we'll probably never follow through on. You know, we want to raise her to be very strong and, you know, happy. But, you know, she's young. She's developing slowly. All the stuff, she's written a screenplay that has no second act. So, you know, we're doing all kinds of things to try and really bring her along. But she's still a baby. You know?
She's adorable. Merlin Man's photos are flickr.com/photos/Merlin Man with two N's. And yeah, look, there's some great pictures. Just beautiful pictures of her. She's a beautiful baby.
Well, I appreciate you having me back. I mean,
would never have you back.
Oh, the meta stuff out of the way. I mean, I've missed being with you guys, and it's awfully nice of you to have me back. And thank you for your patience with my.
I figured you made a deal with Madeline, and she'd castrate you if you didn't take some time off. So.
Oh, that's too late for that. That's
already happened, huh?
I'll get those back when Eleanor starts college.
Only child. She's a singleton. So, just out of curiosity, is this a return for good, or are you going to take some more time off and come back in February as planned?
The plan, I mean, really has just been to, I mean, if there's one piece of advice, because, you know, once you have a child, you're entitled to give everybody advice about their life.
Yes,
the only piece of advice that I would give people is just for as long as you can, try and avoid commitments.
Oh, yeah.
It's mostly just been, it hasn't been a thing of like, it's not like I'm not on the internet. I'm on Twitter 60 times a day.
I know. You know, I noticed that, by the way.
No, it's just a question of, I think, trying to not have more commitments than you can manage, because right. There's always going to be something more important that you need to be working on. So that's what it's been. And so as far as the show, yeah, I mean, like, as far as I'm concerned, you know, once we start back on a regular
schedule.
We won't
start back until January anyway. This is our last show of the year. So.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why not.
Good.
And I can pimp myself talking at Macworld for the first time, so that'll be good.
Excellent. Will that be part of the conference schedule?
Yeah. No, I'll be out front. handing out
passing
pamphlets.
Out flyers.
Yeah. Me and Frank Chu will be out front talking about the 12 galaxies.
Because we're going to be also on the show floor there in the West Hall, and that you can get into without a conference pass. So that's why
I'm speaking on the stuff that I talk about. I'm in the vision track talking about the stuff I talk about.
The stuff you talk about. Well, your Merlin's Mannerisms, compiled by John Hoffman, has been a very big hit. I want to say I deeply regret my mistake on the last program offering. I just said, I don't know what I was thinking. I said, well, send me an email and I'll send you a copy.
You hate email. Why would you ever say that?
Well, I really hate email now. Let me tell you. And I thought, well, I could easily set up an autoresponder and I won't have to do anything. And I struggled with Apple Mail for a long time and never got a working autoresponder. In fact, the people who first sent out notes to me. No, because they got 7 or 8 blank emails from me. In fact, they would have continued getting blank emails from me at the order of a dozen or so a day had I not turned that thing off. So I've been hand answering all of these. I'd like to tell people, stop. Please stop. I've sent out Merlin. You'd be glad to know more than 1,000 of these.
That's ridiculous. I mean, half of them don't even make any sense. I don't. What am I on this show?
Paging Merlin Mann. No, they're great, but they're out of context, in many cases. And as Merlin pointed out in his email, in giving permission for us to do this, some of his best stuff's on Twitter. So what I'd love to see is a compilation of Merlin's Twitters.
Yeah, that would really.
I think you find that it's like a haiku for you, isn't it? That 140 character limit.
It's just like with Delicious. This has got to be the most boring episode of the show ever. Just like with Delicious, you got to fit that into whatever 100 and some characters. I think I think it's a form type. It's just like poems.
Yeah. Well, you're quite, all right. You're quite good at it.
See you next year, everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Merlin Mann, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, please, if you want the Merlin's Mannerisms, it is a PDF. It is available for download, and it couldn't be more simple. You just go to leoville.com. / merlin.pdf. And that's all I've been sending people. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Already I got it wrong. It's twit.tv.
Email Leo if you have any trouble getting.
God, help me! 1,000 of them. twit.tv/merlin.pdf. So that's all you need to do. And then if you go to Lulu and search for Merlin's Mannerisms, you can buy a printed version at cost.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and not only that, Paul Stewart made an iCal version. So you just add that as an iCal calendar, Lord. And every day of the year for 2008, you'll have a Merlin's Mannerism.
What a blessing.
Isn't it great? I think, Merlin, I'm sorry to kind of take this away from you.
It's baffling to me, but it's very sweet.
We had a guy send me an email saying, I've registered merlinsmannerisms.com and I'd like your permission. And I said, I think Merlin probably would prefer you don't do that. He has a website. It's called 43folders.com. Where you can get
Am money. I still doing that? Is that still up even?
Do you post to it? You must. Yeah, there's new stuff all the time.
We're going to edit all this out, right? You'll fix all of this in post.
I think that's Merlin's Mannerism number 32, as a matter of
fact. It'll be pure, like 11 minutes of solid Mac punditry, discussion of the news and issues of the day.
Thursday, 11. July 17th, 2008. It's like an iPod bowling ball. Mac Break Weekly number 27. Anyway, I'm just going to read those. One of those a show. We don't have much Mac news. That's the problem. Let me get quickly to the Mac news. GarageBand, what is it, 4.1.1? There's some new release of GarageBand. Chris Breen, what does this new GarageBand do?
Well, it enables a command to send GarageBand tunes to the iPhone.
Woohoo!
And so it typical Apple fashion.
Completely undermines Apple's business model here.
But you notice they didn't jump out and say, okay, we give, fine, you can put custom ringtones on your iPhone. Instead, they just sort of sneak it into GarageBand at the time, thumbing their nose at Windows users, saying, oh, yeah, you could do it. Oh,
it was
I'm
a push
sorry,
release. It was software update.
Yeah. So you just push it out.
I see, but you're saying
within 40 seconds.
Nobody can do it. Nobody, no Windows user can do it because they don't have GarageBand.
They don't have GarageBand.
Whoops.
Yeah, but isn't it cool when you see these features and you see somebody at Apple inside their little cubicle saying, to hell with this, I want this feature for me. I never have to tell anybody that it exists. I just want this piece of software to do this.
Oh, you don't think he went to Steve Jobs hat in hand and said, may we please, sir?
Well, there are a bunch of really, cool things. Like when I was screenshotting my Leopard book, you know, I'm using all these third-party utilities and all these stupid hacks to try to get really good, clean, like windows and dialog boxes screenshotted. And then I find out that the best tool is actually Command-Shift-4, because Command-Shift-4 spacebar, which gives you just a screenshot of the front, a specific targeted window. But in Leopard, they change the way it gets done so that it doesn't just give you this punched out window. It gives you a really cool drop shadow. It looks really, really professional, really, really slick. It turned a 4-step process or an $80 utility for me into a built-in free thing.
Look at that.
Of course, this was after I spent $80 on the on Snaps Pro.
I'm using Sketch, actually. I love Sketch, but you're right. This is very clean and easy. And it has, and when you do Command Shift 4, you have the little cursor selection too. Does it do a shadow on that?
I don't believe it does shadow on that.
Let me try.
But I never had a need for it.
I will say that the one thing about Snaps that's nice is that when you can set up naming conventions and stuff. I mean, when you do Command Shift 4, it's always like picture one,
right,
picture two,
not ping.
So if you're doing a lot of them, for the average person doing it, Snap Shift 4. I mean,
Snap Command Shift 4 is
plenty, you know, but I mean, Command Shift 4 is plenty for like 90% of what you need. But if you're doing like a whole bunch for documentation is when it becomes a little.
That's where I use Sketch, because I can do some modifications, put arrows on and stuff.
Sketch, you know how to Sketch do menus in Sketch. Have you figured out how to do make a menu capture?
Yes. You know, it took me a while because it wasn't obvious. You turn on the timer.
Yeah.
So there's a little timer. If you hold the shift key when you do the, so you take the Sketch menu, you say select crosshair, and then you press the shift key, and you'll get a countdown. So you crosshair what you want. Let's say crosshair a menu.
Yeah.
And then you get counting down, and then I can select the menu while it's counting down.
Cool. And it does the little countdown.
And then it gets the menu. You know, it's funny that you should ask that.
I'm so addicted to Sketch.
Yeah, Sketch is really
I love it.
And it's free. However, I don't know. I mean,
well,
it's beta
still,
right now.
You still got to sign up for beta, They'll give you an email. But
I wonder if it'll be free forever, or if they're going to, they must want to, Plask wants to charge for it.
I'm sure it'll charge. It's so good.
It's worth paying for.
Well, speaking of paying for, it is interesting when I have to switch between being a pundit who can simply send an email and probably get things for free, and when my ethics tell me that, well, no, this is something that you're getting just for a personal project, so you have to buy it yourself. For me, I love Snaps Pro is a great tool, but I just don't think it's an $80 good.
Yeah, it's a little expensive.
For me, it's not an $80 good tool. It's like a $30 or $40 tool.
If you did video, you would think it was. I think that's where its real advantage is.
More than I show you? You like it better than I show you?
No.
Yeah, well, here's the thing is we now use I show you probably 80% of the time.
For Mac Break and stuff like that.
For Mac Break. And the reason is that Snapsy Pro has this long delay. You know, so when you're done, you know, you do a 20-minute capture.
It renders.
You wait another 20 minutes for it to come out. Now, they've said they're working on it and everything else. Yeah. But I show you is $20 and it'll do it when it's done. When you're done. Right. Now, here's the problem with I show you is that if you do anything that requires video or high-end 3D or anything else, it is much more processor intensive than Snaps. And so if we record something that really needs, that's going to be using a lot of the computer OS as it's working, we go back to Snaps. And then for then, it's $80 is still cheap because all the hardware that would be required to capture it well is much more expensive. So so if you're doing higher end stuff, I think the $80 is cheap. I mean, on the PC, the one that's like Snaps is about $300 or $350.
Camtasia. Yeah.
Oh no, there's a really for video.
Yeah,
for video.
Okay, well, there's a really great screen capture app for Windows called Snagit.
Yeah, same people. That's their low end version. Yeah, TechSmith.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. No, Snagit's great, but you need Camtasia Studio if you want to do the high end. Actually, TechSmith's doing something for the Mac too, right? What is their? They're trying to do the same thing for the Mac.
They have Jinx. Is it in Jinx?
Jing. J I N G. That's what it is. That's actually a very interesting product.
It's great. You know what it's really designed for is not guys like us trying to do something that's kind of professional, but what it's really designed for is if you want to send someone something, a little bit of how to do something or ask someone a question. It's really what's great about it is set up PC Mac. And if you just want to if it's like a visual note, like I can't really understand why this isn't working or whatever, it's a much easier way
but
to
you can do video on that as well as screen capture. Exactly. And it's free. And they plan to keep this one free. Jingproject.com. We've mentioned all of these, I think, as freeware. But to get back, you come back for 1 minute, Merlin, and Rat Hole Mania. I mean,
I wasn't going to say anything, but we were talking about making ringtones in GarageBand.
Can we pop the stack and get back to ringtones in GarageBand? Chris Breen.
Hello.
Thank you for your patience, Chris.
Yes.
Your call is important to us.
Thank you very much. God, you know, I thought I was listening to a little music in the background there. I think it was Led Zeppelin, I think, was in there.
Dazed and Confused. There's like three versions of Dazed and Confused in that complete Led Zeppelin, by the way. I just want to let you know.
Yeah, because you said, well, exactly. I thought that conversation left me a little dazed and confused. Yeah. So you could do ringtones. Did I mention you could do ringtones in GarageBand now? And you can't use it if you're using Windows because...
Article 307108, someone has very kindly added to the MacBreak Weekly list, how to create custom ringtones in GarageBand. So this is an official thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On Apple website and everything.
Yeah, they have an Apple Tech Note on it. They didn't publicize it as much as they might want to, probably trying to stay under the record company's radar, because the whole record industry is you know, adamant about the fact that a ringtone is a derivative use and should be paid for.
Well, I think their defense here, Leo, is that, you know, this is GarageBand with the idea that you're working with royalty-free loops and stuff that you create.
No,
so that's
you
okay.
Can you not use...
I think we get into this thing. Did it in iTunes. If you made it available on iTunes, people would obviously be clipping copywritten material. If you put it into GarageBand, well, they could be doing anything. You know, just like that you can use your VCR for many things, even though most of what we do is record shows.
Yeah.
So I think it's the idea that you're using it inside of something that has a lot of other uses. And I think that's probably why it ended up in GarageBand and not iTunes.
But there's no reason that I couldn't import a wave that is an actual song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can
do anything you want. You just can't bring in the DRM stuff. Of course, there are ways around that as well. Right. So you just do whatever you like and make any custom ringtone you want. But it has to be 40 seconds, just as it is in iTunes. And nice thing is when you export it, it will offer to create the ringtone for you. If you've created something too long, it will cut it down for you. Or it will say, all you have to do is press a loop button here and then it'll work.
It's so cool. And then it just syncs up to your iPhone and there you have it.
Yeah, it automatically tags it properly, so you've got the right extension. It shows up in the ringtones entry in iTunes, and you sync your iPhone, it works.
I think the record industry must hate this.
It still just seems like an awful lot of work to go through just to have My Humps come on every time your mom calls.
How'd you know I have My Humps for my mom?
I just guessed. Well, your mom emailed me. She's very concerned. she wanted to know how to set up call screening.
My nickname for her is Lady Humps. That's why.
You're a class act.
Is that not right?
I'm gonna go get a soda. I'll see you guys.
Can we play the Rat Hole music just so I can remember it, Leo?
Oh, you know, Rat Hole music. Where have I stuck that?
Another symptom of how out of the loop I am, just on a kind of molecular level. I heard a thing on NPR. I had no idea how big the ringtone market was. I mean, when you're talking about billions. Yeah, and I guess for some companies, it's a huge piece of their revenue stream and how they think about marketing. And actually, the piece that was on All Things Considered, where all 40-year-old people learn about popular culture, was talking about this one artist, this dude, who he's like the king of ringtones. I don't even know the guy's name. I'm sure one of you kids with the radio and the rap music can tell me what the guy's name is. But it's a huge, hugely lucrative market, and I would just have to imagine that this would really tweak their nose.
I think that's so. They've been very adamant that the ringtones are derivative. What's interesting is that the artist doesn't get the money, and this is why the record industry is so adamant about it. It's pure profit right in their pocket.
So along the lines of that crap that's going on with the WGA, where the writers weren't getting paid for promotion stuff. Oh, that's tacky.
Exactly. So they get, you know, this is a big, as you, those $9 billion or whatever it was, goes straight to the recording industry, not to the artists. Unless, of course, I'm sure there are artists who have made a deal that, you know, they would get derivative. No, it's big bucks for them. Let me just play this because I think that, as a matter of fact, Merlin Mann gets 25 cents every time we play this. There we go. Come on now.
No derivatives of that may be created. All right.
This would make an excellent ringtone if we didn't talk all over it. But that's why we do.
Do not copy.
Pirated. This call is not for you.
Who owns the copyright to Heart and Soul?
Wait a minute.
Heart and Soul. I don't know. That's a good question. Let's find out.
Paul Minshall, the creator of that Rat Hole theme. And I just sent Paul a check.
Maybe as our gift to the users, we should all go around the table and each produce one clean ringtone. A family
that's
of
a
six.
Great idea.
Like, mine. Okay, so you start, Andy Anako, if you've got in mind.
We should have a minute to think about it, probably.
Well, I'll get to you last then, Merlin.
so I'm the retard because I don't have one ready.
Yeah. Didn't you get the memo about getting your ringtone ready?
Cut my soup for me.
Anyway, I'll give you one from Merlin's Mannerisms. Saturday, August 16th, 2008. Mac Break Weekly, number 16. They ate the booger.
You should do all of them for us because you've got that resonant.
I could read them.
I sound like a balloon with the air slowly being released, and you have this resonant sonorous voice.
I'll do it in the Orson way. Tuesday, September 30th, 2008. Mac Break Weekly, number 38. Middleware has never been more important, especially as we look into server-based tag solutions. It'll scale across the enterprise.
Do you do side work for NFL Films by any chance?
It was a rainy day on Crosley
Field. But for Vince Lombardi and his Green Bay Packers, would be another day.
I interviewed that guy, Bud, what's his name, with the glasses glued to his forehead. He's great. Those are amazing. Anyway, Andy, do you have a... Wait a minute. Rat hole. Do you have a... Rat hole. Do you have... We should make that a ringtone. Do you have a ringtone that you would like? Everybody will now be silent as Andy gives us his ringtone.
Okay, well, let's cut our cut you now for editing. 3, 2, 1.
Just repeat that over and over. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Boy, will you race to get that to stop.
That's the most annoying. Have you ever heard the most annoying sound in the world? That was it. Does anybody else want to volunteer a ringtone?
I'll try one.
Okay.
Ready? This is mainly for Nokia phones. Nokia? Nokia. Nokia phones. But this will work on any of them. Are you ready?
that should be the ringtone. Nokia. Your Nokia is...
Nokia Bison.
Okay, here you go. Ready? Here it is. Ready? I am ringing. Please pick me up.
Oh, that's annoying.
Oh, that's bad.
Because we used to have a woman in the office that would just let her.
Isn't that the first thing you change is that stupid?
And it just goes on and on.
And then there's the T-Mobile.
Everyone in the office would join us in singing that song every time her phone would start.
We have a Twit theme, actually, that is me doing that. And the very talented Ashley Witt turned it into an entire theme song. It's really annoying. Really annoying. So, and T-Mobile has its default ringtone. But every time I hear that, I wait for Catherine Zeta-Jones to show up. And she never does.
She can change your diapers, too.
I like there's a picture of Eleanor that you've put tags. I use the Flickr tags thing. This is what her eyes look like most of the time. You never get to see them. And then, of course, it's got the diaper, and she's got a Winnie the Pooh diaper. And you just write the word pun. Right on the,
it's true.
I love
it's
that.
It's full of poo. I love that.
Anybody? Oh, here's another one. Wednesday, November 5th, 2008. Mac Break Weekly, number 18. I still zap the PRAM. I don't even know why.
It's going to be, once it's edited down, this is going to be 11 rock solid minutes of pure Mac punditry. Every opinion is going to be fact checked.
Is there any? No.
I have one.
Yes. Okay.
An Apple phone show guy sent me a blog post from Japan saying that the iPhone was doing really well in Japan, and I couldn't understand that because it's not available in Japan. Right. So this ringtone is for all those people in Japan who think they have an iPhone. Gomen nasai wakadimasu en. Gomen nasai wakadimasu en.
And that means?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
That's good. That's all the Japanese you need to know, really.
Yeah, wakarimasen, that's the way you get through Japan. Open a sign, excuse me, don't understand. Wakarimasen.
Don't touch my mustache.
American, speak my language, damn it.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. How about this? Wait a minute.
You know, I think we've gotten rat holes for our rat holes on this show.
Here we go.
I got mine. Here we go.
Hello, brothers.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
We're 40 minutes into this. We've managed to cover one topic, Leo. We're really spot on today.
I think we're right on target.
But we've covered so many things along the way. Look
Friday,
at the shiny ball.
October 10th, 2008. Nice. Mac Break Weekly number 34. Mine is not sexy, per se.
So what do we think we're going to see at Macworld?
We asked that every damn show for the last 6 weeks.
But there is, closer,
let's face it,
news.
There's nothing.
There's new news.
There's new news? What is the new news?
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay, prediction.
Two words, everybody. iPhone cases. Yes. I saw it on a rumor site. They have some pictures. I don't really believe, I think they've been photoshopped, but it makes sense if you think about it.
iPhone cases.
I don't know. I don't see it happening, Andy. I think it's not the right time. I think
I'm under NDA. I'm really limited as to what I can say. All I'm saying is go to the North Hall. North Hall.
And look anywhere.
Anywhere.
And look. Yeah. Just look around.
Anywhere you can see.
Look for the faces of people with shocked, astonished, and delighted faces.
Now
and
seriously,
where they've been.
Does anybody have any real ideas? Because I have to go on Bloomberg Television in 3 hours and say something about this.
Well,
let's do a mind hack on the entire media. Let's feed Scott with lots of information that they'll eat up, but will
going
never
to
have
be two words. Yellow iPod.
Yeah, and two words. Beatles iPod.
even in my kind of half-assed following of all things Mac, it seems like there's whatever the opposite of a consensus is about what this mini laptop is going to be. It's going to be shiny or matte or silver or black or 13 or 14 or flash based or hard drive or optical drive or no optical drive. So it's definitely going to be some combination of those.
Now, but Scott, you said there's new. What is the new information?
I didn't say there was new information.
Who said there was? Chris Breen. Was there new information?
No, I think that Piper has said it. It's more of just like really getting down to it. I think the more details. I mean, I was saying that because I'm actually very interested in this thing. I think like Merlin, I really want something small that I can carry around. And I'm voting for a giant iPhone with a keyboard. That's pretty much what I want.
On one of those endless sites, you know, I've got my little tab set for quote unquote preparing for this show where I learn what happened in Apple the week before. And there are supposedly sightings. Where did I see this? Did you guys heard this? Sightings of a little skinnier notebook on Apple's campus? Has anyone else heard this?
Yeah, it's called an Asus ePC. It's running OS 10.
I think that there's actually going to be a new iMac and a new Mac Pro because I just bought one. I bought two of those. Or you know,
wait a minute, Leo.
Not too soon for the iMac.
I haven't bought one yet.
The last Apple technology bought.
No, I'm holding off. It was right after Macworld January. I bought a 17. Do you remember that?
I will say I have something that I found out by buying a iMac and a MacBook last week from Amazon is that. You have to be really careful about, for those of you still buying for Christmas, and if you're buying for Christmas, you better hurry up. Like, this is like your last day that you can do this. You got to make sure that there's actually Leopard installed on the computer, you know, for anyone who's not Apple. And I think this is actually useful for people because we got a computer and it had Tiger on it. And I called them and I said, it's got Tiger on it. And they said, well, it says it's a Tiger. And somewhere in the fine print, it says it has Tiger on it. And then you have to fill out a little form and fax it to Apple. And then for $9.95, they'll send you Leopard. But, you know, it'll ruin the Christmas experience.
Got an iMac from my mom and Tiger was on the hard drive, but Leopard was in the box.
Yeah, I had Tiger on the hard drive and Tiger in the box.
Ooh,
from Amazon.
Either one of those is frustrating.
Yeah, it's well. I mean, I understand. Here's the thing: is I understand the Tiger in the, I understand Tiger on the computer and Leopard in the box. What I don't understand is not getting Leopard into the box, or even packaging it along with it. I mean, it's Amazon. It comes in a box like four times bigger than the actual box was.
Right. There's plenty of room.
You know, there's plenty of room to throw a Leopard in there.
Yeah.
And they could have even charged me $10 more. I wouldn't have cared. You know, it's just that what really stunk was that it showed up. You know, and then I have to sort this out when I have, you know, a couple of days to do it. You know, and so, you know, I just got a copy of Leopard.
historically, how have they handled that? What's the usual cutting off point? I mean, obviously, if you buy like a refurbished, you know, laptop, it's probably not going to have Leopard on it. Like Chris, in your experience, when do they usually, when's the cutoff in terms of
In terms of the Mac that I got from my mom, this was like Thanksgiving, and Apple. I got it at an Apple store, so Apple was right on top of it. But
yeah, I got my mom a MacBook for her birthday in November, and it had Leopard on it.
Yeah,
I think that this. If you're buying it from Apple, you're gonna. I bought it from Amazon, Mostly because I've just gotten...
How dusty was that box? And was the iMac made out of plastic or was it metal?
I was surprised. You know, you think that Amazon sell... I mean, Amazon is a big reseller of Mac products. I just figured that they would be current, and they weren't. Yep. So it's just something that... It's just something for people to look at with the third party. You know, I usually buy all the hardware just from Apple. I don't even try to find anything else. I don't look at anything else. But I had been buying so much stuff from Amazon lately for Christmas and around the baby. I mean, with the baby and everything else. I mean, the great thing about Amazon is we own a top of a third, you know, third story, and it's kind of inconvenient parking. And I won't even go shopping because I just know they'll carry it up the stairs and deliver it to my to my apartment. So I just order everything from Amazon right now. And this was the first time I've really had any kind of real problem. But anyway, it was just one of those things that it was a real surprise. And I think that if you're listening and you're buying computers, as I did, you might want to keep your eye on that.
Wednesday is the cutoff. Wednesday is the cutoff for free 2-day shipping, if memory serves.
Is that right?
Wednesday the 19th. The
real. But I got to say also, I have an Amazon Prime, and it's $3.99. Yeah. I had them ship a radiator heater.
Oh, yeah. That's the best thing about Prime.
It's a radiator heater that must weigh like, you know, 20 or 30 pounds. And I had them send it to me overnight for $3.99. I mean,
my Amazon Prime usage. My Amazon Prime usage would make Al Gore cry. Yeah. It's stuff that I have delivered is pathetic.
I have trucks. So you sort stuff by weight when you order at Amazon just to see the heaviest thing you can send them for the least amount of money.
Well, the thing is, here's the other thing, though, is that then my Apple Care costs $3.99 to FedEx as well. You know, so it's anything. Everything's
to send you a concept and a number. They give you a box inside of a box with packing.
And a number.
But it all goes out the window.
I'm thinking of getting a washing machine like sent to us overnight.
No, get a piano.
Okay, so this portable now based on what you guys hear, do you think this is going to be an LCD screen, flash drive? I have not been keeping up. What do you guys think it's going to be?
I think it'll be touchscreen.
Touchscreen, LCD for sure.
I think it'll have flash memory.
It'll have a flash drive, and the reason is those things wear out way too fast, and it's so much more expensive. A 60 gig flash drive is $2,500.
So I know that there are people who are making flash drives, micro notebook, like sub notebooks next year. I can't talk about them, but I know that this is going to be a brand new category for 2008.
But it initially will be very pricey, and I think when people find out how quickly those drives wear out, they're going to be sorry they bought one. So Apple doing that.
No moving parts.
Because every time you write flash, it damages it slightly. So they all have limited write cycles.
I don't know.
When was the last time you bought a computer with an Apple on it, Leo?
Well, the iMac, the metal iMac, was that's about 6 months ago. I'm due for a new laptop. I would like to buy the sub notebook. Absolutely.
I think everybody's got it wrong about the sub notebook. I don't see Apple going that direction as hard as everybody thinks they are. I mean, maybe a laptop to mirror the PowerBook, the 12-inch PowerBook in the MacBook line. But I don't think all this fancy stuff with flash drives and everything else, they're ready for it. Because like you say, the price point would be too high. And it also goes against the way they tend to build computers, which they tend to build very powerful computers that look really good, that are cutting edge. It might be the cutting edge part, but it wouldn't be that powerful.
Do you think they'll do a touchscreen?
No, Steve Jobs said, unless he was doing one of his traditional...
He also said no one will ever watch video on a portable device. So
I know. I'm just saying what he said. He said no. He said that as recently as the iMac launch, the new iMac launch, Connie from Bloomberg asked him from the audience, what about touchscreen? He said, I look at that as like a personal project. He was very dismissive.
Yeah.
It seemed realistic.
Well, I also have to wonder if they have the resources at this point to launch what's essentially a new operating system. I mean, they have a hard enough time getting Leopard out the door
Right.
So they're like a whole other OS that's touch-based.
That's a good point. Unless they realize the hooks and
the technology from the iPhone and just applying it.
Well, maybe they put it in laptop.
Yeah, but is that going to be satisfactory in a laptop? Yeah.
I've always said that there's a hidden reason why Apple delayed the release of the iPhone software API, the software developer kit, so long, and why they didn't even want to announce it or give a target timeline for when it was going to be released. And I think that it's because the operating the software development kit is for writing more than just iPhone apps. It's also, I'm guessing, for writing software for devices and computers that have not been released yet.
Touchscreen.
I would not be, yeah, exactly. I don't think that we're going to ever see a touchscreen Mac. I would not be, I've said this before, I think on Scott's podcast, but if you take a MacBook screen, like the smaller, the original MacBook, not the MacBook Pro, cut it in half, get a tablet about that size, somewhere between a little larger than a Newton message pad screen, make that into a touchscreen computer where it has a good on-screen keyboard, it can have more real estate for real applications, and give people the ability to have a wireless keyboard via Bluetooth. That is an interesting product.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm so interested in thinking about what would happen if you got some kind of a keyboard, either a keyboard, I guess a keyboard for your iPhone, which I guess just sounds kind of crazy, but like to me that kind of changes the game if you could have a keyboard on your iPhone. Of course, you know, I'm also required by law to mention that I'm still very interested in what Google and Apple will eventually come up with, because I still think that's a game changer. The other thing is, like, do you think they'll ever introduce something that lets you use your iPhone as a modem?
That's the problem with that is AT&T.
Uh-huh.
And I think that I'd be surprised if you see that. I mean, they should. It'd be a great product, but AT&T, first of all, AT&T's edge is too slow, so you have to wait till HSDPA.
Here's the thing that I think is really interesting and crazy, and I'm totally pulling this out of my butt. But so they just came out with this really successful iPhone. MacBooks seem to be selling apace, right? It's not like they're kind of rethinking, oh, Apple TV's not doing that well, so let's redo that. Like, what could they do that would really, really, really shake things up without cannibalizing either MacBooks or iPhones? I mean, do you guys, like Andy, do you think that's a concern that it would cannibalize the sales of either MacBooks or iPhones?
Because Apple has always been the single company that tells a consistent and deep story with its product line. Where you don't, you know, if they were writing a romantic comedy, they don't have three quirky single male next door neighbors when Cameron Diaz is the star, because, well, look, we already have the quirky next door neighbor she can confide in. Why are we building two or three of these in here? They always make sure that, okay, we have a desktop solution, we have a notebook solution, we have a pocket portable solution. Anything mm-hmm. that we add to this will have to not only stake out its own territory and do different things from the product line, but also support and enhance everything else that we're doing.
And you could argue in some ways that it was failing at that caused a lot of missteps in the 90s.
Yes,
because
obviously.
There was so much overlap and it was so confusing. And that's kind of what I'm thinking here. So here's my only thought on this is that I don't know. I don't follow this business stuff, but I have to assume that on some level between iPods and iPhones, there's a fair amount of penetration into what had previously been thought of as uncharted territory, being PC users. Now you've got, as John Gruber pointed out, in the awesome new Rankin-Bass-esque PC versus Mac commercials, they make a point of talking about the PC is a PC. The PC is not Windows, right? I mean, it's kind of an important distinction. Mac is saying,
you better not cry.
I've accidentally started the Rankin-Bass. Go ahead, and I'll play it after.
No, because anyway, I'm kind of just gathering the thoughts, but it just occurs to me that they've done so much to make this penetration into this area that they could have formerly never gotten into. People can go out and buy a micro notebook right now. Right. I mean, they're still making stuff like Sony Vaios, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can still. So I agree with you, Andy. I think it's really fascinating to think about, like, what could they do that makes somebody who loves their iPhone?
Yeah. Where's the hole? What's the
exactly their next Apple thing for somebody who loves their iPhone and loves the iPod? Like, what is the thing that we totally don't expect that would make a PC user go, okay, that's pretty badass.
I do think we're looking at a tablet computer that really, really works. The Windows side has a tablet operating system. As a matter of fact, support for tablets is built into Windows Vista instead of being a separate operating system. But you would not tell the difference between a screenshot of a tablet PC and a screenshot of a desktop PC, except for the change in screen orientation. If we had a small tablets, you couldn't call it an iPhone, but if you had a tablet-sized iPhone and not the size of a sheet of paper, I'm talking about the size of a good index card, you keep the same mode of use as with an iPhone and with most pocket devices, where you're doing one thing at a time. And if you want to, and if you want to switch from working on a Word document to working on the web browser, you don't have overlapping windows. You just mentally switch into a mode where you're using a web browser. That sort of a device would be a very, very new and a very, very well received product. Particularly
runs on the iPhone flavor of OS X.
Runs the exact same OS as iPhone, uses the same APIs as the iPhone. On top of everything else, it would also be the most awesome movie player and the most awesome music library.
Throw in a book reader.
Throw in a book reader. If you think the basic underlying idea is, whereas the iPhone is a shirt pocket device, think of this little tablet as a jacket pocket device.
So more like a Nokia 810 with the OS X running on.
Again, nice clean black tablet with Chrome board around it. No visible buttons, no visible keyboards. If you want to type really, really fast, fine. Give somebody $30 and buy a keyboard.
I like that. Chris Breen, what do you think? What's the hole in Apple's product line?
Right now I think we're waiting for the other shoe to drop on the Apple TV. Somebody said it was a huge failure.
10
this
worst
year.
Gadgets of 2007, according to Popular Mechanics. Number two of the 10.
Not Apple, in my house.
Apple TV.
I love my Apple TV, and I think people who don't get it, who don't have one, but the content is the other part of it, and that's what needs to be done. If we had rentals, that would be it. You know, we wouldn't have to do Netflix if we didn't care to anymore, if the catalog's big enough. But I don't know how Apple's going to pull this off, because apparently they're at loggerheads with the content folks. So unless Apple's willing to give in a big way to people like Universal, NBC, I'm not quite sure how this is going to happen, but that's what's going to save the Apple TV.
But sure, it's interesting to think about. I mean, I just keep thinking, watching all this horrible writer strike stuff, it's so interesting to think about how disruptive that could be for a company like Netflix. You know, think about how much it's like right now people are kind of slogging it out and they're sitting through the same freaking Jay Leno they've seen before. God bless them. And now, so what happens? They get their big screen TV, right? You're going to drop the money. You know, digital's coming in 2009 or whatever. You drop the money on a big TV. Think about like how starved people are going to be for content in January. People got new TVs. They got new iPods. They got all this stuff. Boy, it'd be really an interesting opportunity to come out with something. Like imagine what Andy's saying with this tablet deal. Imagine that tablet deal with something like, I don't know if they could ever combine with Netflix or something like that, but be that ability.
A voodoo tablet.
Because think about how each move they've been making lately, at least to my appearances, the iPhone, what's one of the things the iPhone does? You can go to Starbucks and, you know, there's music playing and you can do stuff and you can buy music wirelessly, you know, over Wi-Fi. There's a content component to most of this stuff.
An interesting gloss on it, I think.
Because
they're
not trying to compete with, you know, HP, right? They're not trying to put out the cheapest, you know, most reliable hardware. They're trying to do some really interesting lifestyle things. So I don't know. I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but I like that idea of the small tablet PC, but it also becomes like your little portable. Think about this. Yeah. You put a 40 gig drive in that instead of the Apple TV, and that's something you can plug into your TV and run movies on.
Take a look at the Vudu, which is $400, a little more than the Apple TV. Roughly the same idea, but it gives you access to 5,000 movies over a peer-to-peer network and starts playing almost instantly because it has it caches, you know, the titles. Vudu. Now that's an interesting. You mix that maybe with a portable device. That is kind of interesting.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that Apple is really into this whole idea of connectivity via cable anymore. I mean, they're really
Well, that's right. Do it wirelessly.
To your television?
No, to your little new
device. Yeah, but if your pad syncs, if you hook that thing up via USB 2 to your Mac, or I guess you could theoretically buy stuff wirelessly like music like you do now. But imagine taking the iPhone idea, like we're saying. Imagine you've got a, look at it this way. Look at it as a bigger iPhone or a bigger iPod Touch, basically. Is that another way to look at it?
Yeah, I think so. Scott Bourne, does that make sense, or do you see another hole in the Apple product?
Well, I think it's fantastical to talk about this stuff. I agree. I'd like to see all of it, but my feeling is we're going to get a surprise. I mean, Steve will talk about a new piece of software we've never heard of or something else. I mean, we know we're not going to get a new iLife upgrade because we just did. iMacs were fairly recently upgraded. We might get a Mac Pro bump. That's not going to be the big thing. We will probably see a lot of focus on the iPhone. He's probably going to do the iPhone 2.0 talk once again.
They
to
say
allow
two new models this year now is the latest rumor.
Yeah, and he's got the FCC deadlines to worry about, right, with filing, so he's got to get it out there. I think that the iPhone will once again take center stage. I'm particularly, I think Merlin's on to something about the content deal, because we keep coming back to why don't the iPod killers ever kill the iPod? It's because they don't have iTunes.
Yeah.
And I think the more Apple can do to tie things to content, and I think it's brilliant to make things move through iTunes, whether it's wirelessly or USB, doesn't matter.
Yeah, but these deals aren't up to Apple, and frankly, it's moving against Apple, with NBC moving off, Fox moving off. Well,
the only thing to think about here, I think also, and I just cannot put this Google thing behind me, because I keep thinking, like, if you get the cloud, if you've got these two things, if you've got the power of iTunes and the power of Google on a small wireless device with a big screen, you can do a lot of really interesting stuff. So now all of a sudden you've got this thing that's like a home entertainment device, plus with, I'm guessing, the same kind of little screen for typing on, you've got something you can grab and jump on a plane and go. You can watch a movie on the plane, and you can sit there and maybe there's a cached version of your Google Documents or something like that. You know what Google lacks right now is a device that's tightly integrated with their office, with the Google apps. I don't know. Maybe they're going to want something more enterprise-y.
I think we have some consensus. I like this idea of Andy's idea, this small, pocketable, tablet-style device, a big iPhone Andy, would it have more of an OS X feel to it?
No, it would still be an iPhone. But most of the advantages of this device would be simply from the fact that it has larger real estate. That means you can have bigger batteries, which means you can support the bigger hard drive, which means you can support a 3G chipset, which means you can support all this other cool stuff.
Right.
There are a lot of implications that just come from a larger screen, and that's certainly one of them. Also, let's not forget that one of the central big features, better than features, one of the central themes of Leopard is that it helps to make the physical location of your data and your computer less relevant. You can project content, project features, project abilities from your desktop computer to any OS X computer in the world. And we can't let ourselves forget that the iPhone is an OS X computer. If we think about this as a way that if I'm inside the house, it becomes a controller for iTunes, or I can project documents from my Mac desktop into this device,
It's that knowledge navigator that Apple did an ad for 20 years ago, a video for 20 years ago.
We'll hire Jean-Louis Gasset again, put on get out his red bow tie.
How much would you pay? What's the price point?
This is for the big iPhone we're talking about.
I would pay as much
as the original Newton message pad, around $799.
Yeah,
because if I were thinking of it not as a big phone, but as less than a notebook computer.
Right.
I would so totally go for that, because
it has
so
to be
much
in that
of
price
what,
range. Yeah.
So much of what I need, what I would want this device to do. So many times I need something that's bigger than my phone, but I don't necessarily want to carry my entire computer with me.
$200 for less than the MacBook.
And if it's not a phone, you get around some of this crap with the AT&T, right? Mm-hmm. All the stuff Alex hates. All of a sudden you've got this thing where maybe you can't, can you maybe run Skype on it?
I wonder if this deal that Amazon made with Sprint is a harbinger of other deals. I mean, remember, you get Sprint EVDO for free for a lifetime for a low price. I mean, it can't be too much of the cost of the Kindle.
Yeah, but they're really eating it on every one of these Kindles. They really, really are. The cost of this internet connection is killing them. Not so much that
you were the one, were you the one who wrote that piece about how this is everybody's missing what's really going on? That was a good piece, and very interesting, because this is sneaking in that very same kind of thing. I mean, every time anybody, let's be honest,
they can make up the money by selling content. Apple couldn't do that, really.
Probably not, because
right. Also, if you look at the deal, there was a good news, bad news sort of thing as I was looking into publishing on the Kindle, where it's kind of cool in that anybody with a document can convert it to the Kindle, can basically send it to Amazon and include it in the Kindle store after jumping through some very, very, very low and big hoops to make sure that it's content that you actually own. But Amazon takes a huge slice of every single sale.
It's not a good ebook publishing model for
But the biggest, I mean, one of the biggest features of the Kindle is the simple fact that it's a pet project of Jeff Bezos. Bezos is one of those really wonderful, crazy billionaires. He is putting hundreds of millions of dollars into building his own private space fleet. If you don't think he's willing to take a loss on the Kindle for 2, 3, 4 years until it becomes the iPod, the predominant, the prohibitively saturated device for reading content either online or in portable book format, you know, he is determined.
They're selling it for $800 on eBay because you can't get them.
Amazon, you know, Amazon wants mine back, and I keep promising to send it back to them. But I might be going on TV with it at the end of the week, and I don't want to trust them that they'll be able to send it back to me.
I might be going on TV in a month. You never know. Let me play the Rankin.
Excuse me, I'm with the media. Perhaps you've heard of us.
Let me play the Rankin Bass commercial. You got to imagine it's, you know, remember Norelco brings you Frosty the Snowman,
like Santa Claus is coming to town, or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Look
so cool. But John Hodgman and Justin Timberlake are, no, what is his name? Justin Long are, if you name Justin, you got to live with that, are kind of created in this claymation style. Here's the ad. You'll hear the audio anyway. As soon as I go to the Apple website, it starts automatically. Thank you, Apple.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
You better watch out.
You better not cry.
You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're in sleep mode.
He knows when you're awake.
He knows when you've been bad or good. So buy a PC and not a Mac this holiday season or any other time, for goodness sake. Oh, come on. Oh, what? Well, I thought those were the lyrics. I mean, that's how I learned it.
Yeah,
I think they did a better job capturing PC than Mac. They did a great job on John.
So I want him to be my make-believe friend. He's so adorable.
What's interesting is that if you just hear that ad, it sounds like it's an ad for a PC.
And you can't see Santa watching it, but like not talking.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of looking at the PC askance.
Yeah,
like,
and then finally at the end it says Happy Holidays from Apple, and they show a Mac. In a way, it's kind of cocky. It's kind of saying, we don't need to say buy a Mac. It's just patently obvious, you know, buy it.
Did you run that misprint one? Is that the one called misprint?
Yeah, I can run that one for you. Let me see.
Have you watched that one?
That's
the one Gruber was talking about that I think I agree with Gruber, makes a nice distinction.
It's not the Rankin Bass. It's another one.
It's another one. But check out what they
now
say.
What? Is that it? Or Podium? Podium we've played before. Let's try now.
Try misprint. Misprint is
I don't see it's misprint.
You don't see it?
Let's see if now what? Maybe now what's it?
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. You know, Mac, there are a lot of people looking to buy computers nowadays.
Yeah, I know.
There are so many questions and choices, and you're all alone out there. That's why I created my book. I want to buy a computer. Now what?
Why are you talking like that?
Buying a computer isn't easy.
Actually, it's really easy at an Apple store. You know, they have personal shoppers to help you pick out the Mac that's right for you. There's even workshops for you after you buy your Mac.
Yes, I thought of that phase too, and that's why I created my companion volume. I just bought a computer. Now what?
Is that not it? That's not it, huh?
I can congratulate PC. He's actually managed to develop that into a series.
Yes.
I wonder who's representing him.
It's like the dummy guides. Oh, here's misprint. Here we go.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Apple.
Hello, PC
us,
World? Please. Yes, it's PC here. I'd like to report a misprint, a very serious misprint. Well, you said, and I quote, the fastest Windows Vista notebook we tested this year is a Mac. A Mac? That's impossible.
Oh, wait, I'm a PC. I think that's actually true.
How can a Mac run Vista faster than a PC? It goes against the laws of nature. Well, you know what? I'll put Mac on. He'll tell you that I run Vista faster.
I'll talk to them, but I can't say.
Hello, I'm a Mac. Yeah, dude, PC's definitely faster.
Yeah, we played that last week or the week before. Yeah. I love that. What did Gruber say about it?
It decouples one. He just notes that it's decoupling this idea of Windows equals PC.
Ah. So Mac runs Windows faster. Yeah. Well,
so
that's a big selling point.
It's a yellow submarine notebook. It's got the touch screen.
And all the Beatles songs, plus a whole unreleased album.
And Billy Preston. Billy Preston brings it to your house.
Yeah. Because he's looking.
Now you're the sixth Beatle.
You're the 17th. Any other news before we get to our picks? Anything else worth talking about?
I wanted to mention something. Well, to pick up on the theme you guys were just mentioning, I'm ganking this straight off of the MBW ideas list, but there's a nice little command line, little terminal thing you can run to improve the screen sharing. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, Rob Griffith published this. Really smart.
So smart.
Yeah. So
just a great little couple lines you can run in the terminal that will do stuff like add a bunch of extra buttons to screen sharing, so that essentially you can just sit there and run in full screen mode, and it actually really feels like you're on that Mac, the other Mac. It's totally mind blowing.
This simple command, it sort of turns screen sharing from a feature into an application.
Yeah,
you know, like something you'd pay money for. It really is quite slick.
It is an application. If you go into core services,
it is. But I mean, it's one of those tiny little applications that tries to pretend.
It's totally, I don't want to say a Trojan horse because of the connotation. But I mean, like, this is really something interesting to slip in. I know the kind of the desktop, remote desktop stuff's been around for a while. But you do this little change, you get a menu that automatically detects like things in the area that you can connect to via Bonjour. So, I mean, if you're, again, this is whole idea of kind of networking your whole house together, and that experience of being on another Mac, like you're really, really on it, it's pretty mind-blowing.
It's basically a Bonjour browser that you're launching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Chris, was Rob Griffith's idea,
that was Rob Griffith. You know, all that stuff comes through OS X hints, so somebody may have offered that as a hint, and then Rob goes in and refines these things.
Love
so,
OS
or he
X
may have done it on its own.
Yeah.
Rob's great.
Yeah.
I have to say that the screen sharing is, I mean, that's one of the main things that I got. My kids live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I live, you know, here and in San Francisco. And, you know, one of the main reasons I got them new computers was so that when I'm chatting with them, I can get a hold of their screen.
Alex, he just had a baby and he shifted off to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, exactly. No, I have two older kids.
I know a good place where you can get a little basket made out of reeds.
I'm going there. If you want me to drop it off, I'll be in Egypt next week. So just
a product you can buy.
No, so Pittsburgh.
Moses basket. Have you seen what you can actually buy?
For the first eight, you know, I said, this is Sparta, you know, my two older kids that are 10 and 13, you know, that it's great to be able to talk to them and be able to, you know, kind of get to their computer. And it was just too complicated to do with Apple Remote Desktop.
Hey, tech support. Can I ask a question? When I'm in, and tech support being all of you people, when I'm in the screen sharing and I'm accessing the other computer, sometimes to make it do a normal thing, I need to hit Option, like when I click something. Can you think of any reason why mine is doing that? In other words, if I click like on an application in the dock, it exposes it in Finder, rather than opening it. So it's as though it's got the option thing messed up. Is this making any sense at all?
Is your mouse button stuck?
This is on a MacBook Pro accessing another Mac. You guys don't get this at all.
So it's not it only happens when you're accessing another Mac.
That's right. And it's as though that Mac has the option key pushed down.
Stuck.
Do you have any of the assistance controls enabled on the remote Mac?
Yes. As in I've remapped caps lock to control, and I've got the universal whatchamajigget on.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that if you mess around with universal access, you will find a feature that when turned off will cause that to go away.
Ooh. Thank you, Rabbi. Should I buy an Oldsmobile?
Life is
the time of year. We sit back and wonder about the choices we're making in life.
Could you rephrase that as an ethical dilemma? Is it right to buy an Oldsmobile?
All right, let's get to our pick. That is actually a good pick. That's a great tip.
You'll edit all of that out, right?
I will.
All that will be edited out.
No, because this is Jubilee year, and all is forgiven.
Mazel tov.
Doesn't that just affect the slights against the queen?
Absolutely. Anything. Slights against the queen, the rabbi, anybody.
Awesome. Because there's a lot of reasons why I can't go back to London. And this could really open this back up for me.
You bet. Yeah. You're back to London. You may go.
And Andy, that old warrant in Oklahoma, forget about it.
let's start with Mr. Scott Bourne. As long as you're there, you got a pick for us?
I do indeed. And it's just a fraction of an Alex. It's the Monster iCable Link headphone adapter for the iPhone.
Oh, this is instead of the one that you got from Apple, the Shure.
No. This won't work with any other clicking. It doesn't have a clicking thing. This is for people who just want to turn their regular iPod headphones into something they can listen to on their iPhone.
Belkin was the first company to make one of these available. They had one at launch, but it was gray and it was stiff and it was not very flexible, obviously. This one's black, looks a little better with the phone, and it's flexible, so it won't cause damage to the headphone receiver jack. And it's $10 from Monster. They make good stuff. 24 karat gold contacts, all that kind of yada yada. And I have both, but I find that I prefer the Monster one because of its flexibility. I was concerned immediately by the Belkin one because I was afraid because it was so inflexible that it might damage that jack. Those kind of jacks are usually the weakest link in any kind of device. So this one is flexible, and if you pull on it, you won't necessarily yank on the jack.
I just to add to that one, there's also a Pro Cable by Radtech, and it's more flexible than both of those. I have a small collection. I bought all of them. But the Monster one is really good as well.
Very good. How much? And it's how many, Alex? Is 117?
It's just nine. It's $9.95. So
9/95 of an ounce.
And I have two sub picks. Both Chris Breen and Andy Anako have wonderful iPhone books. I paid for both of them. And
good they are.
I got review copies and I still paid for them. I still bought them. And
I didn't even get a copy. I don't even own it and I still paid for it.
Yeah.
they're that good.
They're just that good.
I pay $1.32 for a bottle of Coke at the supermarket, I'll be thinking of you and your royalty. Thank you so much.
Okay. Anyway, they're both really good. They're completely different books, completely different takes. Chris's is here's what to do with it, and Andy's is here's what to do with it that they didn't want you to do with it.
Excellent. Excellent. So they're both out now. That's great. Congratulations, guys. That was a quick turnaround. Cool. Yeah. I'm going to do my pick real quick because, as you know, I have a presence on Twitter and Jaiku and Facebook and... But it's tough when you're like me and you've got to manage a lot of different sites. Maybe even you've got a Yapt or a Tumblelog. I recommend Mood Blast. Yes, one quick push of the button and you're...
Is this a brand of shaving cream that you're endorsing?
It's very much like that. It blasts your mood to everything. To Facebook, to Twitter, to YouTube, to Jaiku, to Yapt and Tumblr. You type it once and everyone knows exactly what you're thinking at any moment. Absolutely free. It's zero Alex's. You get it from the Circle 6 Design blog. That's blog.circle6design.com. And I think a donation is worthwhile. They're going to add Pounce to it. He's been working on this and really it's a standalone Cocoa application. He's really done a great job of it. I've set up a hotkey. So when I press Command Shift M and start typing, my mood is blasted everywhere. And now that is gone from Facebook, you know, it makes it an even better place to update your status. So blast your mood to everyone listening. You can also send the current weather forecast, your iTunes listen, and many other useless pieces of information.
I just feel like it's the ultimate vector for I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to make everybody else in a bad mood.
Blast my
it's
mood.
It's the ultimate personality spamming tool.
It's a personality spam device.
What are you so damn happy about?
But see,
I'll
now
knock that smile off your face.
What could be a good mood?
Don't you know there are people starving to death?
It doesn't have to be a bad mood. It also works with Adium, so if you've got you use your Adium status messages. It works with Skype. Your Skype. Like, what are you laughing at?
Thinking that, you know, the internet would be again a perfect thing for these sort of tools. Like, you know, have you ever used freerice.com where it's a word game and for every word you get
free
right,
rice is great. Rice, yeah.
We'll have like a new computer site where it's linked into that same server, but you intentionally try to take rice away from the people who are trying to feed starving people. On the basis,
say again, Merlin. Have I lost everybody?
No, if you Twitter about your flight delay, you should have to buy a bowl of rice for someone. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Did you follow Jason Calacanis's long 16-part Twitter about how he'd forgotten his passport?
No, it's not in my coterie, but I do think in the drinking game called Twitter. I think you would have to definitely take a drink whenever someone has a flight delay.
Flight delay would be a good one. Yeah, but I think this is for you, somebody like you and me, Merlin, who
like
to let
everybody
know.
I worry about. I got to tell you, now you're bringing it up, so I worry a little bit about how these bleed over too much into one another. I think something like Jaiku is great for aggregating all of this stuff, but I actually am grateful personally when my friends turn off automatic Twitter additions in their Tumblr site. because I like those being different. I mean, personally, to me, Twitter is an art form that like deserves its own place.
Wow.
And to me, you know, your Tumblr is a place to put Wikipedia entries. That's a whole different thing. And I like those being separate. And so like when I see the same thing across like six places, that kind of actually makes me less rather than more happy.
That's actually a good point, is to write. But you're the kind of person who custom creates, hand creates your mood for each place.
I used to. I hired some people in Bangalore now that are doing most of my updates for me.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Makes it
so much
easier.
It's been terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a lot less costly than me doing it. So.
Do they do that in between ship breaking?
Between what?
Ship breaking, you know.
Do you think ship breaking?
No, he's talking about the thing where they send ships to these countries and people are paid like one penny per month to do the most hazardous sort of cutting them apart and reducing them to scrap.
I heard a thing about in China where they tear apart computers and it was very dispiriting.
Yeah. You know, you got to be very careful when you do the e-recycling. It's not just ships.
And then they dump it in a river. It's totally scary.
Yeah. Because many of these e-recycling centers just go to the cheapest bidder and often it's a... somewhere it's just appalling, and you know.
What if we had to make a donation when the show goes past a certain amount of time?
Oh my gosh!
Bye guys, it's been nice. See you next year.
We're not that long yet. We're only a little long. All right. So anyway, everybody hates mine, but I like it. Mood blast your mood everywhere
no,
you go.
No. I know. I'll tell you for I want the same away message on Skype.
Yeah.
Adium and what
you
have
can
you.
Uncheck. You can. I don't have my Tumble log on this one. You can uncheck stuff. You don't, but if you want to do Skype, iCheck, and Adium, you can just do that.
Are you still doing a Tumblr?
No, I pretty much moved everything to my blog. And in fact, I was spamming my blog with my Twitters and got so many complaints about it that I finally, I actually did an entire blog redesign to avoid that problem.
I like sites that'll let you break that out. It's something we're not doing particularly well right now in 43 folders, but we've broken it out. You can get by tag or by author.
That's
or
what
by
I'm
any
doing.
Of that.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that where you can like leave stuff like that.
That's exactly what I'm doing. So now on Leoville, it's all part of Leoville now, and you can click blog, but you can also click video. So you don't have to see the videos I post unless you want to, books, gear, appearances, you know, so it's all separated out. Yeah.
You should do a flight domain flight delay.
There you go. Leoville. Flight delay button.
Yeah, you can have
a
whole domain.
Yeah.
Just for flight delay.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Andy Iannacco, what's your... Oh, before we go to Andy's pick, we should do Andy's Audible pick. This show is brought to you once again by Audible.com. Audible.com/MacBreak.
My desk calling. I really need to take this. Hang on.
Go ahead. Okay. So let me mute Andy.
Good.
I actually can't really mute him, so I'll just... we'll listen to his call. Where's the mute button?
What are you going to do for Life Day, Leo?
What's Life Day?
Oh, it's a thing the Wookiees do every year. Are you not familiar with Life Day?
I hear a Wookiee in the background. What is Life Day?
Have you never seen the Star Wars Christmas special?
No. The Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, boy.
A two-hour television special set in the Star Wars galaxy. Aired once on
George
November
Lucas
17th.
Has basically spent like almost all of his money trying to destroy every copy of it that's out there.
Star Wars Holiday Special. Wow.
If you can find a copy of that, go ahead and put your hands.
It's been widely bootlegged by fans. Well, what is it? Just so god awful that
it's, you know, for me to even try and describe a holiday special that really mostly didn't have much participation from them that includes Art Carney, B. Arthur, Jefferson Starship.
I have such a good story about this, but I will let you finish.
And Chewbacca's father-in-law watches Diane Carroll do some dirty dance. It's pretty...
I think you're running in the background. What is that? Or somebody at the airport?
you haven't Twittered about this.
Now, if you can get a copy of it, Leo, it centers around Han wanting to go home with Chewie to make it to Life Day.
Here it is. Here's the short version from 1978, the 2-hour Star Wars Holiday Special in just 5 minutes.
Star Wars Holiday Special, starring Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. Introducing Chewbacca's family.
Oh, Jesus.
Beatrice Arthur.
Beatrice Arthur.
The Jefferson Starship.
Oh, no. Because their name was Starship.
That's
turning back. I know your family's waiting.
I know it's an important day.
I'll get you back there in time, pal. Trust me.
Well, they must have filmed some additional material for this, because I don't remember that in Star Wars.
It was real everything.
It's amazing.
Lucas was distracted because he was working on Empire Strikes Back at the time. He'd kind of like waved his hands and said, okay, yeah, that sounds great, holiday special. Gave him a basic script, and everything just went completely off the rails.
Well, it's on YouTube.
Gary Fisher closes the special by singing the lyrics to the Star Wars theme song.
What are the lyrics?
Like, we celebrate with open arms. I've blocked most of this out, but I got to tell you this story. This is in the pre-iMovie days. I finally got my hands on a bootleg tape of this at a science fiction convention, because I remember very, very distinctly being a little kid and being forced to go out to a family, like big family Christmas party on the night this thing was airing, which meant that I missed it forever. And so I've bought this tape for like $25-$30. It was like 90 minutes, 2 hours long, and was sitting there like just dumbfounded. This is like a 92, 93, thinking that, my God, it was so much better in my imagination of how good this could have been. And so I spent, I'm not joking here, like 2 months as a project figuring, this is a 2 hour long special. There must be some sort of way I can cut this down and re-edit it so it's actually entertaining. So I made up a shot list. I had a clipboard with like all these segments. I built a new storyline out of like all the footage that was in here.
Holy cow.
And I cut together a 41-minute long Star Wars movie.
And she should mention that there are points where for several minutes there's nothing but the Wookiees talking to each other in like Wookiee growling.
Let me play a little more of this, because
we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything
else. Is that really Princess Leia?
This is the
And that's really Art Carney.
Art Carney, and this is Life Day. Here comes a song.
We celebrate.
Oh no, this is a different one.
A day of harmony.
But it's not Christmas Day. It's Life Day.
Jefferson Starship has never sounded better.
That was Grace Slick, ladies and gentlemen, before the cigarettes and booze. So
how are we ever going to top We Built This City? And they said, I know, the Star Wars holiday special. Book that, Lenny. Book that.
Well, this is what YouTube was made for, ladies and gentlemen, because it's all here.
Ruined our childhood memories of movies we loved.
There's a cantina scene. You want to?
D. Arthur as the bartender of the cantina. I believe she sings Last Chance.
Its broadcast is recommended by the Imperial Council in the belief that your commitment to remain upstanding citizens will be reinforced.
That looks like
it is required
TRS-80
for all members of the Imperial Forces.
Time now for Life on Tatooine, brought to viewers everywhere in the hope that our own lives may be uplifted by the comparison and enriched with the gratitude of relief.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the ad.
I have to say this. Shash, who does our show notes, has been listening via Ustream over in England, and he sent me a chat that says, thank God I was not alive when that special was released.
You have to understand, though, this is things were different in 1978. In 1977, I mean, I was voracious. I would watch Darth Vader make hash browns.
Yeah,
I was out
true.
Of my mind insane for anything Star Wars. And you would watch, I mean, there were ABC. I seem to remember ABC having some kind of really weird special. Well, you know, it was just that they had all this. The stuff that they were making was not nearly as tightly controlled as it is now. And
and now we know why it is. This gives you excellent reason
for that.
Think
about poor Lucas. This is a guy who, like, you know, he's probably like going back and having like toasts he's made at weddings redone over the years, you know, the video. I mean, this is a guy who cannot be happy with anything, and yet he's got this thing out there, and I feel for the guy.
Well, and there's no way he can suppress it now, because it's everywhere.
It's too awesome. It really
is. It's everywhere. All right, this is a show brought to you by audible.com, audible.com/MacBreak for your free audiobook, your credit. If you've never listened to audiobooks, you've got to try them. If you like podcasts, you're going to love audio books from audible.com. 45,000 titles on all kinds of subjects. And Andy, I think you had a book you wanted to recommend this time.
Yes, especially since we're just 1 week before Christmas. This is one of my favorite audiobooks of all time. For years and years and years, I would have the cassette edition of this in the glove box in my car. And starting like the day after Thanksgiving, I'd listen to this two or three times over the holiday season. It is Patrick Stewart's one-man show recording of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
All by himself.
All by himself. And it's not a dramatic reading. He used to do this as an annual stage show, like an annual one-man show during downtime from filming Star Trek The Next Generation. And you would think that it's not a Monty Python where, hey, hey, Mr. Cratchit, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing pretty well. And although he does have to go up a couple of registers to do the children's voices, but it is such a pitch-perfect performance. I would actually go so far as to say it's probably the best adaptation of A Christmas Carol on video, on movie, because it is so absolutely true to all the really important things of the story. I've always said that if you want to do a good version of A Christmas Carol, whether you're doing an animation or whatever, you have to understand that Scrooge is not the villain of the story. He is the hero of the story. And Patrick Stewart absolutely understands this. Obviously, he's cut down the book to fit into what's a little less than a two-hour performance. But it is, again, just pitch perfect. And I just get such pleasure out of listening to this every year.
Wow, that's great. A great pick. Mac Break Weekly's pick for your audible.com free book, Patrick Stewart's A Christmas Carol. If you do a search for Patrick Stewart, it'll come right up. He narrates the whole thing. That or many other titles could be yours absolutely free. Just go to audible.com/MacBreak. We thank them so much for their support. I've been reading the All the King's Men you recommended, Andy, on Audible, and it's great. You're absolutely right. It's incredible. And the poetry of Robert Penn Warren's writing, I didn't remember that.
It's great when you come across a book that you wind up reading it three times when you read it once, because you get to the bottom of the page and you're like, oh, let's read those. Yeah. Let's read this scene again.
Yeah, he's a better writer than I remembered. I mean, just remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like if you already have a novel in progress, or if you have a novel like in the drawer, you're like, okay, we're starting this over again, because apparently we have to be much better than this. if this is the standard, we're going to have to really do much better than what we've been doing.
No kidding. Andy, did you have a pick you wanted to share with us besides your Audible pick?
I absolutely do. This year, probably because I saw that really great Wordplay documentary about crossword puzzle solvers, I finally got back into crossword puzzles after about a 10 to 15 year layoff. And the great thing about getting back in when you're like in your 30s as opposed to when you're early in your early 20s is that you've read more books, you've seen more TV, and you can recognize more words. So I've been getting, and also the great thing about getting into it these days is that you don't have to buy a newspaper. There are all these online crossword puzzles. And Red Sweater Software, those are the people who do Marzed, the blogging app.
Which I use and love, yeah.
Right. They have this awesome desktop crossword puzzle solver called Black Ink. It's the perfect app. It's an incredibly Mac-like app. It's perfect for filling in crossword puzzles. Not only that, it knows where crossword puzzles are hosted online. And when you launch it, it says, here are all the sources of crossword puzzles. What do you want to do today? And you feel like, well, okay, I think I feel like getting the Philadelphia Inquirer's crossword puzzle, or I feel like getting a classic New York Times puzzle, or, oh, it's Sunday, I want the Wall Street Journal's current Sunday crossword puzzle. It will download it to your desktop, and you don't need to have a connection to the internet at that point, and you can spend your 6-hour flight to San Francisco doing a puzzle that, according to the rating system, is supposed to be able to be finished in 10 or 15 minutes.
Great. I love it. Daniel's done some great stuff. I'm really pleased with what Red Sweater Software is up to. And Mars Edit is fantastic.
We can talk about this on a later time. I actually discovered it because I spent the weekend looking at blogging software, and I actually didn't like Mars Edit all that much. And so I wound up actually having a discussion with the guy and checking out his site and have to say, well, geez, I don't like Mars Edit, but I love Black Ink. It's
free crossword puzzles from the web from Black Ink. What do you use then to post to your blog if you don't use Mars Edit?
Well, realize that I've only been using these things for about 36 hours, but I use Ecto.
Yeah, I have Ecto also.
Because my problem with it, I'll say this with only about an hour's worth of experience with Mars Edit, and again, I'm writing a more full featured review that will flesh things out a lot more carefully, and also I'll have more experience before I actually write about it. But the thing that I really want in a blog editor is I want something that's a huge improvement over just editing HTML directly in BBEdit and then pasting it into the online editor. And to me, Mars Edit is not that. Ecto lets me have some semblance of WYSIWYG editing. Obviously, it's the web, so you can't get real WYSIWYG, but I think that it can be more Mac-like and it can be more transparent than what Mars Edit allows.
I find Mars Edit extremely usable, and the reason that I like it is I just get the sense that a lot of care went into what they decided to leave out of it.
Yeah.
And that's why I like it. I mean, I used to use Ecto, and I don't know. I used to be a really big fan of Ecto. It feels like it needs at least a visual UI refactoring from the bottom up.
Lots of little things sticking out.
Very crowded, but it has a lot of no doubt. Ecto has great stuff. It has stuff like those templates and things like that are super helpful. But personally, I mean, I do all my stuff through the web, so I don't really use that stuff much. But in my testing of Mars Edit, I've been really impressed.
I use Mars Edit and Sketch together. That's how I post everything, and it's just really easy.
Yeah. Again, I'll talk about it more in depth later. Yeah. This is actually a really kind of a funny and shocking display of, again, I've yet to really publicize the new blog yet. And so sometimes I forget that this is actually connected to the actual web and that there are people who can actually find it and actually read it. So I was creating for both of these tools, both Ecto and Mars Edit, I was writing a sample blog post, which is, well, here's okay, and I've just launched it, and gee, I can't find the italicize function, and gee, how do I paste this in, and oh god, don't tell me that, you know, I have to type in tags, is that the way it works, then click post, and there's nothing in those blog posts that I would take back, but of course, a half hour later, someone twittered that, oh my god, Andy Notko totally slammed Mars Edit in his review, and then the author of Mars Edit was like also twittering about, oh, I don't know why he doesn't like me, and then I was getting all kinds of comments about, oh geez. So,
okay. You know, websites would be awesome.
Wow, this microphone is on? Holy cow.
I had no idea you'd be recording this.
Let's get I'm going to download that Black Ink. That looks really, really great. It'd be useful.
It is so slick. Yeah. It's such a Mac app. I love it.
He does great stuff.
I like
the red sweater stuff.
I like
his
software. Daniel's a great guy.
Chris, he also does FlexTime, which is, I won't go on, but FlexTime is a really nice, if you need to do like 43 folders-esque productivity stuff, FlexTime is a super cool timer for doing stuff like that.
That's actually how I first met Daniel, because I had written a little Apple script for the radio show to let me know it's time to break. Because unlike this show, I actually have breaks. And
I was going to say, can we get that for this show?
and he said, you should look at FlexTime.
Chris should give us all catheters for Christmas.
All right, we're almost done. Chris Breen, what about the poor audience? They've got to listen to this. You got a pick for us for the holidays?
I do.
Last pick of the year.
Yeah, increasingly, podcasts that are looking for that coveted explicit tag are asking me to participate in their shows.
Oh, dear.
And so I'm doing more podcasting, and I'm getting to be a microphone geek, and I've tried out a bunch of different USB mics, and I have not been happy with any of them. So I keep going back to my traditional microphone, and my very favorite one is an AKG 414, which is the old Johnny Carson mic, and it's about the same vintage. So it's a beautiful mic, but the problem is it requires phantom power. And I'm moving that mic from Mac to Mac, and I've been using an Eterol USB audio interface, and the driver for it is funky and it causes different things to crash. So I've been looking for some kind of portable USB preamp, and I found one, and it's made by a company called Centrance. That's Centrance.
I use it. I love it. Yeah.
It's the Micport Pro.
Yep.
It's $125. It looks like just kind of the end of the bottom end of a mic. So on one end, it's got an XLR connection or a Canon plug. And on the other side, it's got a USB connector, the little mini one, a headphone port so you can monitor through this thing as well. And best of all, it's got a phantom power button on it. So this AKG 414 requires power that comes through the line, and this adapter provides that. So you push the button. It's got, you attach it to your mic, it lights up so you can see your mic is actually working. You can tell phantom power is on because, you know, it won't light up without it. It's a nice, clean interface. It's really portable. You can throw it in your backpack, and you can take any mic you want now. You're not stuck with using a USB mic, and you don't have to bring along this bulky audio interface with you, but instead just bring this little plug, and it's beautiful.
Yep.
And also converts it to USB, makes it into USB audio.
Yeah, that's what it does, yeah.
Awesome.
I use that on the road. I used to bring all this recording equipment. Now I just have the C-entrance, which is very tiny. I mean, it's just it's small, and I could put that in the mic sack, and I'm set. I can record right to my Mac, which is fantastic.
Right. Plus, unlike a lot of USB mics, this one has audio gain on it, so right. You can adjust the gain of your mic, and
you can monitor directly too, so you don't have to worry about any latency. Are you using that right now?
Yeah, I'm using it right now.
Yeah, so with the AKG.
Yep.
Wow.
How do I sound? Do I sound rich and luxurious?
You sound fantastic.
So your hair sounds very large. Is that
the
big hair guy?
It's full and rich, really.
Luxurious.
It is rich and luxurious.
Rich creamery.
Scott Bourne, what's your pick of the week?
I gave you one.
You already did, so never mind.
That was an hour and a half ago, and I forgot.
I thought we started a new show.
Was that episode 69? Oh, it was this episode. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that leaves Alex Lindsay and Merlin Mann. Alex, let's start with you.
I have a really simple one that solves a really simple problem that I have. A lot of times I'll be working on something. I just don't want my this actually came up on the Mac Break ideas, the MBK ideas on Delicious. And I was just going through the stories and downloaded it and just realized that it really solved a problem, which is it's called caffeine. Did you guys see this on the list? So it's a freeware, so it's zero Alex's. All it does is it puts a little thing in your menu, and all you have to do is click on it. And when you click on it, your screen and your computer won't go to sleep. When you click on it again, they'll go back to whatever your energy saving is. Because a lot of times, I mean, I want my energy saver to be pretty aggressive, actually, to turn off if I'm not using it to save my battery time. But there are many times when I'm working where I really want it to stay on, and I don't want to go in and change energy saver every single time I'm doing that. So this is like a nice little toggle switch to let you just kind of say, you know what, don't go to sleep right now. And I don't have to keep on. A lot of times when I'm doing presentations, sometimes I'll be sitting in front of people and I'll just go up and be moving my mouse every once in a while, and it looks like a nervous tick. And it's mostly me keeping my monitor from going down because I forgot to do it and I don't want to set it up in the middle of the presentation. So this looks like a great solution to
caffeine, spelled just like normal caffeine or with a K? Or
yes it is. It's spelled the same way. Right. And
it's from lightheadsw.com.
yeah,
lightheadsw.com. caffeine. Cool. Very useful. Don't let your Mac fall asleep. Merlin Mann, you haven't had a pick in so long. I bet you've got hundreds of wonderful programs you'd like to tell us about.
Oh, Leo, where do I begin? Really, where do I begin?
Of a love that never ended?
I remember when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a fireman. That's when I was 8.
Begin there.
I had a teddy bear, and his name was Luther. I don't know if we did this one before. Has anybody done menu calendar clock?
Yes. You poo-pooed it when I did it. But go ahead. Go ahead and love it now. It's okay.
This is what makes you a maven. I will do
you could talk about menu calendar clock.
I'd rather die than agree with you, Leo. I'll see you in hell.
Menu calendar clock is really useful. It just puts a little calendar in your menu bar next to your clock with the to-do lists and everything. It's just a
I might have spoken too soon. The thing is, this is actually probably not exactly made for somebody like
me. Now you don't like it.
You know, Leo,
son of a bitch.
Come on, I'm going to make an audible tone whenever I'm done with the paragraph, and you'll know it's time. Here's the thing. Here's why I like this. Okay, so a lot of these have been around forever. There's this rich history on the Mac of these really cool little kind of menu things that let you do stuff with your calendar. And there's several reasons why I like this one. So what are some of them? You can make your own.
I'm not saying anything.
Oh God, I'm so angry right now. My flight's delayed. Give me Twitter.
I already did it for you.
The worst life day ever.
Is this officially life day today?
No, I haven't even sent out my cards yet.
Oh man.
Anyway, the reason I like this. So basically you, what this does is this pulls in your to-dos from iCal and puts them in a list under a nice little compact calendar. You can search all of these. Has it always had this little search box?
Added that in the most recent edition.
There's a couple things that I don't remember being here before, but like the fact that you can search, and if you're like me and you capture a lot and have a lot of these to-dos, you can very quickly, kind of winnow that down. It does something that I think a good menu extension should do, which is that it doesn't take up a lot of space when it's not open. And then when it is open, it affords all kinds of really cool further stuff that you can do. Like you can see this whole list, or you can not see the whole list, or you can jump to the preferences, or you can click to go right into something. And it's just, it's neat because I think it's like a neat little, like almost like a remote control for iCal that I like a lot. And now, so of course, I'm an OmniFocus guy, and OmniFocus syncs up with iCal. And now actually round trips pretty well with iCal. So you can create stuff and add projects and so on from inside of iCal.
Well, that's good, because that was a complaint I had, was that I was using OmniFocus on a bunch of different computers.
Yeah, disclosure, I work on OmniFocus, blah, 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 blah. But it's not for everybody. But for me, it's great.
Oh, no, we recommended it. I think Alex recommended it as a pick when you were gone. We loved it.
Well, actually, it's interesting, because now that they've got the beta out there, I don't know. I think it does some neat stuff. But what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, whether any of us like it or not, and a lot of us don't, iCal is the lingua franca, right? If you've got to talk to iCal. If you talk to iCal, then you can talk to lots of different places.
Right.
And increasingly, with Spanning Sync handling my kind of GCal sync up stuff, and OmniFocus getting my tasks in there, iCal, as much as I kind of loathe the Leopard version of it personally, it's becoming a place that I can do lots of stuff. And so something like this menu calendar clock, you're going to edit all of this out, right?
Terrible name. I agree with you. You can't remember.
But anyway, I like this, though. It's a very quick way, without having to switch modes and go into iCal, you can see your stuff. It's real easy to use. You can configure how you want the date displayed. I think it's super handy.
We had a first here. We had a Leo pick that Merlin turned into a Merlin pick, and then a Mac wine all at the same time.
I have so many Leopard wines. Oh, my God.
The fact that they took out that info bar on iCal is driving me crazy.
Oh, my God. And everybody's like, oh, Command-E, Command-E. And I'm like, no, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It is. It's goddamn ridiculous. That's all I'm going to say.
Ridiculous.
quote Mr. John Wayne. So I like that a lot. I'm going to toss in this other one. Have you guys played with this little remote control app yet? Have you tried Remote Buddy? Have you guys talked about that?
No, I don't think so.
I want to know somebody who's had the balls to run Remote Buddy, because it looks really cool. Nobody? Nope. Remote Buddy lets you basically do Apple little white multimedia remote type stuff via your iPhone. So the thing is, when I got to the installation screen and I saw insert into kernel, I stopped. But I'm really, somebody who's a total iPod nerd, iPhone nerd like Scott, I'd love to see you use this, because the list of, it's at iospirit.com. They've got a ton of applications it supposedly works with. And I'd love to know if anybody has had any luck with it. Maybe on a second computer.
It's a neat idea. I was using
When I see the word kernel, I start getting really angry.
I was using Sailing Clicker, and I used to love that, but it doesn't work on any of the phones, including the iPhone that
I have. That's a Sony Ericsson kind of deal.
Yeah, right? And it's the same idea, though, without modifying your kernel.
Well, I don't know. I
leave that one alone, Merlin.
No, but somebody should try, because it looks pretty badass. I would encourage people to tell me how it works for them at iOSpirit.
It's an incredibly dangerous thing, so I can adjust the length of my own bungee cord before I jump.
It's a new feature of Mac Break Weekly. It's called You First.
Is this milk still good?
Oh, I'll give it a try.
Smell this for me.
Now that you have a kid, you'll be able to play that game yourself your own home.
Oh, you can. All of my clothes smell like spoiled milk already.
Spit up's the new black. I just
you get really used to it. You know, you don't even notice that. I went out to pick something up, and there was just stuff on.
It's like Alien. You think you're fine, but you discover she's got like a shot glass of spit up hidden in her cheeks, and it's all over. Game over.
Is it time to announce the new podcast that you're doing, Leo? This week in babies?
We might. We are doing a parenting podcast, because we knew all you guys would quickly be coming around to this.
Merlin and I want to be on the show.
All right, so quick round table. Let me ask each one of you, is your baby a sweet, precious angel? Yes, absolutely. Baby is a sweet, precious angel. She's actually a slice of angel food cake.
He's more like a unique snowflake.
All right. I want to remind everybody that the Twit coupon code is still operative, and you know, you just have a few more shopping days till Christmas, and I'll tell you, this is the Scott eVest stuff is great for the geek in your life. Go to scotteVest.com, and when you're at the end of your shopping cycle at the cart, put Leo in as the coupon code. You'll get 20% off the top of everything you've purchased, no matter what you're buying. If it's from the Scott eVest site, 20% off. This does not include Twit merchandise sold at the Think Geek store. This is only for stuff at the Scott eVest store, but I think that's just a really nice little holiday gift from Scott eVest to Twit listeners. Use the coupon code LEO and 20% off. I think we're done. You may now all resume your urination habits. Scott, I thank you for joining us. Even though you're not feeling too well, please feel better soon.
Thank you.
Yep.
Good to be with everybody.
Really glad you're here. Don't forget, you can hear Scott's Apple Phone Show at applephoneshow.com. He's got girlsgonegeek.tv, pedango.com, iLife Zone, many other wonderful podcasts. And he's going to be part of our Mac world party. In fact, why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Alex Lindsay? Because that's the next time we're together. It'll be the week before Macworld.
Yeah, well, so we're going to post this. There'll be a PDF on for at least our side of the stuff up on twit.tv. I'm going to send this to Leo.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes, and it'll be a PDF, and it'll give you the whole schedule. So pretty much we're mixing everything from we're doing a ton of podcasts, MacBreak Weekly, Floss, the Tech Guy, Twit, This Week in Media, Dig Nation, Jumping Monkeys, MacBreak Tech. So all of that stuff's going to be on the floor. Over on the West Hall, when we're not doing podcasts, we're going to be doing training. And it really is a very deep, understanding green screen, building, camera, how to use your camera effectively, how to build opens, how to do post-production for audio or video, how to do building animations using basic lighting, how to pick a camera for production, so all of these things, as well as some of Craig Siverson, he builds these presentations. I think some of you guys have seen some of Craig's presentations.
Oh, yeah, incredible.
And they're insane. Yeah. They are insane.
He's the best.
And yeah, so there's Craig Siverson's Video Terminologies for Beginners, Craig Siverson's Video Compression Primer, and Greg Siverson's New Media, Old Media, and they're just great presentations. So it's going to be in a very, very dense, whole week on our side. And that doesn't even include what Podango's doing in the conference end. So, this is going to be a Macworld. I really think that between what Scott and Podango are doing and between what we're doing on the floor, it is going to be probably some of the most dense training, you could get in building content for the web and content online anywhere else, ever to date. So, so I really think it's going to be really exciting. We're going to put this, as I said, we'll put the schedule in the show notes, the PDF. We'll have more information coming up probably the week before when we do the next Mac break. We'll kind of do the final little bits. There's a couple other people we're trying to bring in to be on some of the podcasts, and we'll be able to hopefully announce those names the week before. But I'm really, really excited about it. So it's going to be a big theater in the back of the West Hall, and you definitely want to be there.
Fantastic. Yeah, we look forward to that. And Scott, you're doing some stuff at Macworld as well. You're going to be part of the conference.
Yeah, unfortunately, you have to pay to get into our deal, but it's if you buy a conference ticket, you buy one of those packages that gets you into pretty much everything, including our deal. We're Thursday the 18th, and we've got luminaries such as Leo Laporte,
yes,
and Alex Lindsay and yes, Craig Siverson, and some of the same people doing some things, but we've also got some of the guys from Red Pixel. We got the girls from MommyCast. We have a just jam-packed lineup. We got Don McAllister from UK coming over.
Oh, good. I love him.
Yeah, he's going to do a thing on how to do a screencast, and it's literally from 9 to 5 nonstop. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's great. And Merlin, you're going to be speaking at Macworld.
Yeah, if it's any consolation, this is the first time I'll be speaking at Macworld in the quote-unquote vision track. And mine is going to be the opposite of what your guys is. It's not going to be jam-packed. Mine is going to be shambling. And it's going to be – it's going to – no, I'm going to be talking about a lot of the
– covered in meconium.
Covered in meconium.
35 minutes of sleep.
You know what? You know what's funny? If you're around doctors a lot, confusing meconium and colostrum, it's always funny.
let's turn it this way. One goes in, the other goes out.
Ideally. So I'm going to be talking about a lot of the stuff that I talked about in 43 years.
Andy, you're receiving a call right now. You might want to step back from the microphone.
Pick up the Andy phone. No, but I'm going to be talking, and it's part of the conference thing, so I think it's a pay thing. But I'm really excited about this. This is going to be my first chance to really kind of tie together a lot of the 43 folders related stuff having to do with how we deal with all the inputs in our life. And this new concept that I'm very excited about, which is talking more about scarcity and how it is that we kind of build the walls that we need to build in our life. And I'm really pumped to do it. I'm petrified that I'm speaking at Macworld, but I'm really excited. So, yeah, I'll be there. So I'll be hanging out with you guys and going to the champagne room with you guys and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, you'll see of us all in the front row of your talk. So shamble on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
Glaring. Jeez.
Shamble on. What time is your talk, actually? Because I may be committed to Alex something for Alex.
Oh, see, now already, you're saying you're
if you liked Men Your Calendar Clock a little bit better, I might have. No, I just don't. I have to see when you're
breaking up.
I have to see, you know, because we are doing a lot of stuff on the show floor. So
I'll be speaking, apparently, the vision track of the users conference, January 16th from 4:15 p.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Oh, yeah. I'm available then.
Yeah. Everybody will be gone by then,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, no. And I'll definitely be there. In fact, the whole Mac Break Weekly team will be in the front row there.
So you can come and hang out and hear me.
And what we should do is get our pictures made on those little face placards that people hold in front of their face and make sure the whole audience has them, so it'll just look like us there.
It's good. You can just imagine us in our underwear, and then that's when the meconium comes in.
Always imagining you in your underwear. it's really all that gets me through the day is that image of Andy, his underoos.
Andy and Akko, when are you going to launch your site? You're working on it. It sounds like.
I did a post over the weekend to the people who found the site, have been watching it, basically outlining the 12 stages of developing any project, and also commenting that I'm ready to put a post-it note on oversteps 8 through 14 that basically read, screw it, I'm just going to launch it.
Dude, just launch the damn thing.
Just launch the damn thing. I need to put one more critical thing into place before I can really launch it. But again, if you do some sensible Google search, you will find it very, very easily. Yeah. I'm using that wimpy Flickr / Google / everything else practice where if I just put this little corner tag labeled beta on the upper screen, I can get away with it being really slapdash and not very well put together at all.
But is it being served from your home computer at this point? Is that why you don't want too many?
No, Mr. Scott Bourne is giving me space on his mighty pod. Is it on the Podango server as well as everyone else?
No, it's even better. It's on my private suite of servers.
There you go. So there's a good chance that you might accidentally get porn. So another good reason to bookmark that URL really quickly.
Or a picture of Andy Anako as Louis XIV, the Sun King. Your choice.
That is quickly becoming my official author photo.
I love it.
I sent it to when in the last days, literally, of producing iPhone fully loaded. I basically gave him like my usual collection of like official author photos and said, oh, by the way, this is kind of a funny thing I did over the weekend. And of course, they decided to use that as the official author. I could not be happier because I really think it expresses.
It's very well done. It's very well done, but it's got a little bit of an uncanny valley thing going on. It's at a little disturbing.
Well, at least it's less Photoshop work than on any cast member's publicity photo for Desperate Housewives.
There you go.
There you go.
Zing.
And so Andy's, of course, in the Chicago Sun-Times. CWOB.com is still the canonical site, but soon to be changed. That's the Andy Anako's colossal waste of bandwidth, soon to become celestial.
Yes.
Any moment.
We've already proved two miracles. If we prove the third miracle, the Vatican will give us that ranking.
That's right.
We've got our fingers crossed. There's a lot of paperwork ahead of us because they still haven't processed JP2. But they told me that as soon as the former pontiff gets in, we're right next to him on the list.
I said canonical, not canonized. iPhone fully loaded in stores now. Chris Breen's iPhone book is also out. Chris, what's the name of that?
It is the iPhone Pocket Guide from Peach Pit Press, and it's out and out in the wild. And during Expo, I'm going to be talking iPhones. Ben Long and I are going to be doing the iPhone Super Session Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 1 to 3. It's a pay-for kind of thing. But you'll
the conference.
Get, actually, it's extra. Oh, it's $29 extra because you're getting extra goodness. And I'm going to bring my hair. And
look for the bouffant.
So you get the hair with
it. It'll be in a special glass case on the Apple booth, just like the iPhone was last year. It'll be
gently
rotating. You'll all get a good look at it.
You got to walk by it like Stalin. You got to just look at it for a few minutes and then walk by.
Yeah. If you come to this session, you actually get a little piece of it. And so for those of you cloning at home, you can have your own.
If you want to feed it, it's $8.
That's right.
So Chris is also in Macworld Magazine as a Mac 911 columnist and on many, many podcasts, some of them with expletives not deleted, I understand.
Ooh.
Saturday, August 23rd, 2008, Mac Break Weekly number 38. This has been a really good week for software. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want Merlin's mannerisms, they are available. As I said, don't email me, twit.tv. / merlin.pdf. This is our last show of the season because I'm headed out. Everybody's headed out for holidays. We will reconvene in the week of on January 8th, actually. And I hope you will tune in then. Enjoy your holidays. Happy New Year. Happy Life Day. A wonderful Festivus for the rest of us. Merry Christmas. We thank you for joining us. Another Mac break is broke. You may now all micturate.
Happy Life Day. Happy Life Day, everyone. And we're certainly glad that you are alive to celebrate. Yes, Artu. It is indeed true that at times like this, Artu and I wish that we were more than just mechanical beings. And we're really alive, so that we could share your feelings with you.
Chewbacca! Chewbacca, we were so relieved to hear you were all right.
All of you are an important part of my life, pal. I'm glad I could be here.
This holiday is yours. But we all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace. No matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything else, our love for one another. This is the promise of the Tree of Life.
Joy.